Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Welcome to another episode of the Out of Sight podcast on the Liberty Ballers Network. Chill ride, chill vibes. Nothing chill about this podcast. I'm just going to say it off jump because I am excited. Sixers basketball has me excited again, and it hasn't even officially happened yet. If it happens, Shams dropping bombs like his predecessor Woj. James Harden is open to being traded to a contender, and Philly is one of the cities he chose. I am lit right now. It is lit AF right now. And so Tom introduced everybody, Tom West introduced everybody to the possibility of a Harden trade on the site today. And it's an emergency signal. The emergency signal went overseas. And like the Alfred to my Batman, Tom West is on the line right now. Tom, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good, man. Thanks for having me back on again.
Oh, my God. Okay, how do we even start with this? The rumor, like the tweet from Shams, I saw it and I thought it was a joke. I had to double check, make sure there was the blue check mark and everything. I honestly couldn't believe that Philly was mentioned. Like, I thought it was a possibility, but having that in writing from somebody like Shams, like that was something else.
Yeah, like, I mean, train season's here, so notifications are back on for Shams.
Oh, yeah.
I still sort of paused for a second, even though I got a notification, like, wait, really? But, like, I was just in the middle of eating dinner, like, you know, trying to switch off for a bit, and then I was like, oh, I better get writing then. it's sort of been, you know, an idea kind of pushed by Sixers fans for a little bit now, just the idea of potentially adding Harden. Especially I think since the Daryl Morey hire, just thinking about,
yeah,
you know, obviously his history with Harden, you know, he was building, you know, contending teams around him for years. He absolutely loves James Harden. It would make sense that he'd be interested in bringing him back, but, you know, it didn't necessarily seem like something the Rockets, you know, would be interested in anyway. And it still looks like, you know, they may want to hang on to James Harden, obviously, but yeah, now it actually looks like it could be a possibility. There's at least a chance of it. So, yeah, interesting day.
You did make a point to emphasize kind of the last part of that tweet where it says that Houston is fully comfortable keeping Harden and Westbrook into the season. If Harden wants to stay, if he said that he wants to stay, is that – that's not like lip service or anything, right? Like that's something he would genuinely like – be okay with and try to work this out with Russell and the gentleman in charge there now?
Yeah, I think so. I think if I was going to guess that someone's getting traded, I'd at least go Westbrook. I'd kind of lean towards being surprised at this point if he's still on the Rockets by the start of next season. But Harden, I think there's certainly still a chance that he does. You know, he did say apparently that he was committed. You know, Woj reported yesterday that the Rockets were still saying to people that they're intending to run everything back with Harden. And even just the wording in Shams' tweet today saying that, you know, Harden would prefer to play for a contender. Maybe that means if the Rockets can work something out and he thinks the team is going in a better direction, you know, post Westbrook, then maybe he'll be happy and, you know, they can work things out. And ultimately, you know, it's not Harden's decision. If the team want to keep him, they'll keep him. You know, if they want to be stubborn, stick with him next season, you know, or at least, you know, until the trade deadline and just see how things go the first few months of the year. There's no reason why they shouldn't do that. So there's still obviously a very real chance that that's what's going to happen. And, you know, we're not going to get the big blockbuster trade that people want to see. So that wouldn't surprise me at all, but it is interesting how quickly things have kind of gone, even just from yesterday with Woj saying, you know, the team was saying they want to run it back to maybe, you know, the sort of momentum around Harden leaving and, you know, the Nets being a contender to try and push for him as well, and Harden potentially being interested there, you know, to join KD and Kyrie. With the momentum going, yeah, it certainly seems like he could actually be leaving, which is not what I thought, like, even a week ago.
Let's be honest. If it's Harden and Westbrook and they're just running it back and maybe they change one or two pieces here or there, the Rockets are still kind of a contender in the West, like maybe more of a sleeper than an actual contender, because I feel the Lakers are going to be better. I feel like the Clippers are going to be better. Denver is going to be better. I was actually talking to a friend of mine earlier today, and we were saying that, hey, in if it was an 82-game season, not pandemic, and teams had to go to Denver to play games in that altitude, like, there's a serious chance that Denver would have made the finals, I think. But that's just me.
Yeah, no, I really like Denver as well. And, the West is loaded. I mean, even just the Suns, I don't think they're, you know, a top contender or anything. But now
the Suns are frisky now.
They're really interesting. Like, they were good anyway. I really like their core, you know, Booker, Ayton, Mikal Bridges. You know, they've got a lot of good pieces. And adding Chris Paul is kind of... He was kind of like the best sort of realistic target for them. Like, there was a bit of buzz building around them, you know, recently, and they actually got him, which, you know, is really good for them. Like, they're more interesting now. So yeah, there's loads of competition. And I think if, you know, Harden and Westbrook playing together, it's kind of the issue there. They're not happy together. And, you know, Westbrook does leave. I don't really know, you know, exactly what's left for Houston in that scenario. Like, they're not going to get an amazing haul for Westbrook. Like, he's a negative.
Not at this point.
He's such a negative contract. Like, it's just a huge amount of money. So even if you get back, you know, a decent young player, maybe a pick, you know, it's not like Harden's got left with loads to work with there. So, you know, in that case, it wouldn't be surprising if he does just want to leave. But yeah, we'll see what happens. It looks like whatever direction this does go in, it's escalating pretty quickly.
You brought this up, and when Daryl Morey was hired by the Sixers, one, that was surprising as hell, because, I mean, we all kind of thought he would just ride off into the sunset, take a break, whatever. But when Morey was hired, there was already kind of like rumblings, or even like the smallest possibility that he would make another swing for Harden like he did before. I feel like Harden is to Daryl Morey what Embiid was to Sam Hinkie at this point.
Yeah, no, it's a little bit like that. That's an interesting comparison. Like, yeah, I mean, Daryl Morey's relationship with James Harden is unlike, you know, most, if not all, executive to player relationships. Like, they're very close. Morey thinks so highly of him, and, you know, he built the whole team around Harden's strengths, really. Like, obviously they changed over the years, you know, using more pick and roll with Capella, and then obviously they brought Chris Paul in, so that changed things, went to more ISO, and then they went super small ball again, you know, this, you know, last season and with Westbrook. But yeah, what Morey thinks of Harden is, you know, something special. And, you know, obviously it makes sense that people would theorize that maybe he'd try and get him again. But yeah, it's still a little surprising to see it become maybe a possibility.
And he kept changing what his team building was all about for Harden, pretty much doing the Westbrook, which may or may not have been Morey's idea, the Chris Paul trade, everything that he's done after getting Harden from Oklahoma City. It's like, for whatever reason, Morey really wants to win a title with him. And even when Golden State were doing their thing and they had Steph and Clay and Durant, Morey was still out there with Harden, like, okay, I'm not just going to call this the rest of this decade a wash. Like, I think I can still make something happen with this guy.
Yeah, I think Morey's aggressiveness is a good quality, and it's something that definitely helped him push with Harden, like going out and getting Chris Paul. You know, they were so close to beating the Warriors. You know, so many things in the league would have changed if that did happen. You know,
so close.
If Chris Paul's hamstring was all right, and if they didn't miss 27 threes in a row, you know, a lot could have happened differently. But, you know, Morey's mindset has always been, you know, the teams with stars can win. Like, he's always had that aggressive mindset. Like, if you're not going out and getting big players, like, you're not going to be contending. Like, you're going to be sort of sitting behind the real contenders. He obviously loves Harden as well. The talent upgrade of going from, let's say, Ben Simmons to James Harden, if that is the trade that would happen, you know, that's a big upgrade. It's a Maury kind of move, just from the mindset of getting a star, let alone for actually being for James Harden. So it would make sense that he would, you know, push for it if there's the opportunity there, which maybe there is now.
It might be there. The other city that was mentioned by James Harden was the Brooklyn Nets and reuniting him with Kevin Durant. Let me just ask you this. Who has the better pieces to make the trade worthwhile for Houston? Because I look at Brooklyn's roster, and outside of Caris LeVert, there's not much there. If I'm the Houston Rockets president of basketball operations, general manager, there's not a whole lot after Caris LeVert that's kind of making me go, okay, I can center a trade around these two or three guys.
Yeah, I'm kind of on the same page. Like, they can obviously throw everything at Harden if they want. It's kind of been natural to think that Brooklyn don't have any draft picks, but they're getting back to having their first round draft picks again. So they can, you know, throw some draft compensation in there, which they'd have to. But, and, you know, if they want to just go all in with stars and get together a big three of Kyrie, KD and James Harden, then, you know, that's the direction they might want to go in. But yeah, like you, I just don't think their young talent is really enticing enough for them to have the best package. Even if other teams out there want to get more aggressive, because, you know, I like LeVert, you know, Jarrett Allen's all right, but they don't have any, you know, Spencer Dinwiddie's, you know, pretty good. I think he'd be a good target for the Sixers, but they don't have any big, you know, young talent sort of near the level of Ben Simmons, where they really have like a marquee guy to build the trade package around that, you know, seems like enough for someone who, you know, of James Harden's level, like a, you know, sort of perennial MVP candidate, top six-ish player.
And just from a financial standpoint, you're looking at LeVert, Dinwiddie, maybe DeAndre Jordan, just to get the financials right. And then, like you were saying, any number of draft picks. That is in no way enticing to me. And maybe I'm just saying that because I'm biased, but outside looking in, I don't think that's a good trade.
Yeah, I don't think it's... I mean, if I was the Rockets, I don't think it's what I'd go for. I don't know what other teams around the league would do. Like, I don't know if, you know, anyone like the Heat or the Nuggets are going to really get involved. Obviously, I'm sure everyone has interest in adding James Harden if they can. But
yeah, it's,
you know, one thing to be interested in, another to actually, you know, commit some of your major assets to it and really go for it. If James Harden's interested in Brooklyn, then great. But, and, you know, I was... You know, when I mentioned it, you know, the trades recently, and, you know, if he went to Philly, like, you know, some fans replying like, oh, well, it's only if he wants to go there. But no, it is the Rockets' decision.
Right.
James Harden can give them his preference, but it doesn't mean that's going to happen.
Harden can say whatever team he wants to go to, but if the Rockets want to trade him to Cleveland because they offer him the best package, all right, James, you're going to Cleveland, my guy.
Exactly. So if he wants to go to Brooklyn, but they don't have the best package, that's not going to happen. And I do think the Sixers, if they include Ben Simmons, they can pretty easily build a better offer.
100%. And this is the last thing I'll say about Brooklyn. Kyrie Irving, ball dominant. James Harden, ball dominant. Kevin Durant has kind of been ball dominant in the past, although with his Achilles, I could kind of see him being more spot-up shooter focused, I guess, which is, you know, that's drastic change. But guys, there's only one basketball on the court at all times for all five players. It's not like Harden gets a ball, Kyrie gets a ball, and Kevin Durant gets a ball, and you get all the points from that. No, there's one basketball. Like, I just don't see how that works.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to watch it. It would be interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just so much talent. You know, they're three of the most talented scorers in the league. I'm not a huge Kyrie fan, but, you know, he's obviously really good at what he does. But yeah, the fit would be very interesting in how much they all need the ball. Kyrie and Harden aren't great playing off the ball. You know, they don't relocate, cut, you know, that much. They're not super active off the ball. So yeah, how they would actually fit together would be a bit strange, but just the talent level, yeah, it would at least be fun to watch from afar. I wouldn't have the stress of being a Nets fan wondering how it will work out and if they can actually win a title. But yeah, it would be interesting.
The name most commonly brought up with this trade is Ben Simmons. And that alone, I think, at least keeps the Rockets on the phone, right? I mean, if Daryl Morey, I'm not suggesting he is thinking about this, but if Daryl Morey calls Houston and is just like, okay, we'll put together a package, Harden for Embiid, game over for everybody. Like, that's like, there's no possible way anybody's passing that up. I'm not saying Morey will include Embiid, but Simmons is the more feasible name. And you were talking about, you made the point of how Harden, he's got 2 to 3 years left on his contract, and then Simmons' max starts. So I guess the kind of debate question is, do you take the 2 to 3 years with Harden and try to win in that window, or is six, seven years of Simmons still kind of worth it to you?
Yeah, I mean, that's the big talking point.
Because that's
rub. Yeah, because they've got a guaranteed 5 years of Simmons, but I think it's important to remember, like, you know, stars move more than ever now, and we, you know, you can't know if Ben Simmons is necessarily going to be happy in Philly in 4 or 5 years.
Yep.
And then even beyond, is he actually going to want to re-sign again? You know, there's no way of knowing that. And, you know, it's fair to think that maybe his mindset would change, where there's at least, you know, another opportunity, you know, with another team in the league that would attract him more. And that's a perfectly reasonable thing to happen. You can't just assume that he's going to be here forever.
Not anymore. That, you
know, yeah. I mean, there's other positives to, you know, keeping him. Like, I mean, for one, like, I'm a big Ben Simmons guy. I think I'm probably higher on him than a lot of people are. I've, you know, made that pretty clear on Twitter. I've written a lot about how he's improved, and, you know, plenty of fans are critical. I feel like I've kind of defended Simmons for his strengths and what he does well. And there's obviously the, you know, the youth side of things. He is 7 years younger. If you think he's going to keep improving, whereas you think Harden might start slowing down in a few years, then, you know, there's that side of things as well. But I just think the talent difference kind of swings things toward Harden. And like you said, they go to being a title contender. Obviously, they've got some other things to work out, like, you know, can they trade Horford and stuff? But they go to being a title contender if they can just get some decent pieces together around a Harden and Embiid duo. They're that good. That's not the case right now with Ben Simmons. And, you know, people like talking about, you know, Harden's playoff shortcomings, but, you know, it's not like Simmons has been, you know, the savior in the playoffs either.
Yeah.
And, you know, fans have been killing Ben Simmons for how he's played in playoff games. Yeah, then now they're killing James Harden. He's one of the best players in the league for the same thing, you know. So it's a little strange. I'm a little bit surprised at how negative quite a few fans have been at the idea of it and wanting to stick with Simmons rather than Harden. But, you know, I mean, I even tweeted a poll out a while ago just to say, like, would you trade Ben Simmons if it's the only way you can get James Harden? We've got about 2,500 votes, and it's 55% yes, we'd do it, but 45% no, which is much closer than I thought would be. Like, it's almost split 50-50 for keeping Ben Simmons. And given how much, you know, criticism he's had from fans and how annoyed they are with his game and the lack of a jump shot, I was a little bit surprised.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity, but giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out. Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries.
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on, and there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again, and I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
Financially, amazingly enough, Simmons and Thybulle by itself financially gets it done, but that's not going to be the trade. That's just not enough. Moving Harris or Horford, and the trade that I see most often in Twitter circles is the idea of getting Harden and Lord Covington back, which, thank you, gives me an excuse to break that jersey out again. And Eric Gordon for Simmons, Horford, Thybulle, and draft picks. I got to say, I'm not completely against that.
Yeah, that's an interesting offer. And I think another one slightly less involved would be Ben Simmons and Al Horford for James Harden and, again, Robert Covington. And then obviously draft picks on top of it from the Sixers side. That would be interesting as well. You know, obviously you get Harden, you clear out the Horford issue. Covington's like the perfect forward for them to add, you know. It ticks loads of boxes. I don't know what Houston would prefer, but yeah, I don't think there's any way they're interested if Ben Simmons isn't involved. It's just too hard to make a package that's enticing enough. even if you just throw tons of draft picks at them, like, I know that, you know, everyone loves Matisse Thybulle, you know, Shake Milton, but they just don't have enough value to be, you know, centerpieces in this deal. And, you know, Tobias Harris, I know a couple of people mentioned him to me earlier, but he's still a negative asset with his contract.
Yeah.
Like he might have the worst contract in the league, given that he's still 4 years left. So it's not like he's a positive for Houston.
I agree that Harris can't be the centerpiece for sure. Maybe it's part of a three-way where Harris goes somewhere where he can be useful. What that team is, I don't know. But, you know, the holy grail would be if somehow Mari either does one of two things. If he somehow trades for Harden without having to give up Simmons, or he trades Harden and somehow gets off the Harris and Horford contract in the same trade. And I said this on Twitter, I will faint and go into a joy-fueled coma not to come out until the NBA Finals.
That would be unbelievable, yeah. I think that would still feel fake even after about a week.
Yeah.
That would just be, like, fixing all those problems and then adding Harden in one go would be, like, Daryl Morey could screw up so much after that and he'd still have, like, been beloved by Sixers fans for that trade, so, yeah.
It's funny, Daryl Morey hasn't done a thing yet, but I'm pretty sure he doesn't have to pay for a beer in this town already.
Yeah, definitely.
If the Sixers make this swing, and parts aside, if Simmons is traded, then you're looking at Embiid and Harden and Harris. Hopefully they get off Horford's contract, Jay Rich, Shake, whatever else they get in free agency. The Eastern Conference, I don't want to say it's wide open, but there's only maybe a handful of teams that could really come out of the East. Milwaukee is certainly one of them. Boston, Miami. Like, do the Sixers become like a top three team in the East if they trade for Harden?
I don't know. I mean, I'd have to think about it. And obviously, we've still got so much left to shake out this offseason. We've sort of barely got underway, you know. I don't know. Yeah, there's lots could happen on draft night. And yeah, but I mean, they'd definitely be close, I think. You know, they'll still have some pieces around Harden and Embiid, you know, if the deal is based around Simmons and draft picks, if they could get Covington back, then that would be huge. So yeah, they'd definitely be right up there. Like, I do think if they added Harden, like, the upside is there for them to, you know, be the best team in the East potentially when it comes to the playoffs, and then, you know, potentially push for a title. I don't think that, I mean, we know that that potential isn't there right now. So yeah, I definitely think they could get there.
I think the Harden trade swings monumental in just this one fashion. In the half courts, right, teams cannot employ the 2-3 zone against Harden and Embiid. Teams like Miami did it. Teams like Boston, Milwaukee flirted with it for a little bit. Like, if you have Harden on the floor, that really doesn't work, because he can still get to the rim whenever he wants. He can still do pick and rolls with Embiid. Oh, and by the way, you want to sit back in a 2-3 zone against Harden? Give him open look for three? Yeah, have at that.
Yeah, I mean, it's so tough to cover. I mean, one way you can cover both of Harden and Embiid is just by a double team, right? Like, that's the sort of simple way to go. Like, if you just cannot stop them in any given game, throw a double team at either one of them, but you can't do that both at the same time. And Harden just, you know, he covers so many flaws that the Sixers have had, you know, just not having anyone who can create off the dribble. Like, they were, you know, they were the bottom of the league in pull-up threes. They were near the bottom in free throws. You know, they didn't have any great, you know, passes from the perimeter, you know, apart from Ben Simmons. And Harden is amazing at all those things. So, yeah, I mean, it would just do so much for their offense. And, yeah, just thinking about how, you know, Harden could help Embiid continue to improving and, you know, pick and roll. You know, Embiid's never been a great role man. But, you know, Harden could probably bring out a bit more from him there. Be really interesting to see, you know, what their dual handoff game's like. You know, Embiid was so effective, you know, just with JJ Redick.
I was just thinking that.
Handoffs. If you change that guy, obviously, you know, Redick's probably just as good coming off the move to shoot as Harden is. But if you think about everything else Harden could do when he, you know, gets the ball downhill, like, the potential for them there is amazing. And obviously Embiid covers up for, you know, any issues Harden has defensively. You know, having Embiid as the backbone of the defense is huge, you know, if you are concerned about any of Harden's sort of shortcomings on defense. So they complement each other really well in, you know, quite a few ways. And obviously Harden fixes so many of the Sixers' problems. So yeah, it's really interesting thinking about this as an actual possibility rather than just Sixers
fantasy
fans dreaming. Yeah.
And NBA 2K trade machines.
Exactly.
I will say this. You brought up Harden's defensive inefficiencies. If he just tries, I'm okay with it. It's fine, right? Because like you said, Embiid is back there as the anchor. If he tries, that's gravy. Like, that's fine. Like, I'm not asking him to sit there and just, oh, shut down Jason Tatum. That's not what I'm asking you to do, James. I'm asking you to outscore Jason Tatum. That's what I want you to do.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, the pressure's off him there. And obviously Embiid can still carry a lot of scoring on offense as well. You know, it's not all coming down to Harden. Hopefully he's not going to be getting too gassed. You know, if he can share the scoring load, obviously, you know, it'd be good to add another ball handler as well. You know, that's something hopefully the Sixers will address, you know, through the draft, if they can this year, even if they trade their first rounder, you know, their first, you know, 2 second round picks, they could definitely get someone in that range that could help. You know, they might be able to sign someone in free agency. I wrote a piece the other day about DJ Augustine, who would be, you know, a pretty good signing potentially, you know, someone like that. So yeah, they can definitely fill out the team to support Harden, and you know, Embiid can cover defensively, and they can still balance things out quite well, and Harden doesn't have to do too much to the point where you're concerned. And yeah, like you said, he doesn't have to be required to do too much defensively. Like, there's plenty of pieces around him, obviously, you know, especially to keep, you know, Matisse Thybulle and that sort of thing as well.
I will say this. If he's not moved, I'm okay if Harden is the quote-unquote point guard and Jay Rich is the off guard, because Jason Richardson can cover the other team's perimeter threat, and that leaves James Harden to save his energy a little bit. Could that work? Does that make any sense?
Richardson
and Harden together?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think, you know, Richardson would probably fit better on that team you know, with Harden than he would with the current, you know, setup, you know, especially if you're moving on from Horford as well. Like, if you're filling out the starting lineup, if you've got Harden, two other decent shooters, you know, let's say Tobias Harris, maybe Robert Covington, if, you know, the Sixers get the ideal trade there. If you've got, you know, those three guys, and then, you know, Embiid and then Josh Richardson is kind of your worst perimeter shooter, that's a much better situation to be in. And obviously Harden can, you know, generate so much offense by himself that, you know, I know a lot of Sixers fans were frustrated with, you know, Richardson's shooting this year and, you know, his, you know, doesn't have enough volume, he passes up too many looks. That's much less of a concern if you kind of reshape the team around Harden. So yeah, like you said, with how Richardson could kind of cover defensively, you know, he can handle the point of attack. Harden can get a weaker assignment. It would work quite well in that area.
It's only the first damn day of the NBA offseason, and I am jacked right now. And the draft is on Wednesday. Oh my God, Tom, what the hell? They couldn't space this out over a couple of days. Like, no, you get it all on Monday. Here you go. It's like, here you go. Drink it all in. Sons of bitches.
So much going on. Like, the first half an hour or whatever went by after, you know, the trade sort of season started, once it went, you know, 12 noon Eastern, and I was thinking, like, there's nothing happening. Nothing's happening. And the Chris Paul trade is like, oh, okay.
Like,
things are moving, and then we get the James Harden update, and obviously, you know, he's not being traded yet or anything, but still, it's like, you know, there's stuff to talk about, like, things are moving. So yeah, draft tomorrow, or sorry, 2 days away, is, yeah, it's going to be a really crazy week.
Just the thought of Harden jerseys and just like everybody like wearing faux beards around town, like I can't stop visualizing it now, damn it. Oh my God, this is so much fun. It hasn't even, and like you said, it hasn't even happened yet.
I know. And yeah, we've got to prepare that, you know, nothing's going to happen. But I think even if, you know, we just get way more negative on the Sixers for a second, like, even if they don't get James Harden, I still think this can be a really good offseason for them. Like, you know, recently we were just talking about how good the Daryl Morey hire is, the coaching staff. You know, I think they can do some, you know, they can make some good picks in the draft. And, you know, if they can make an Al Horford trade, like, they can still enter next season in much better shape than they were. So, yeah, there's, you know, plenty of variability with how things could play out, but they should be able to improve, you know, where they're at heading into next season, whatever happens.
Just when I think the Sixers aren't going to be fun, they hire Daryl Morey, and all of a sudden we might be trading for James Harden. This is the life we've chosen as Liberty Ballers writers.
Life is fast.
Life comes at you fast.
It comes at you fast, yeah.
God dang it. Well, I appreciate you staying up with me, Tom, because I know Greenwich Mean Time, so appreciate you hanging out and talking to us about Harden and getting everybody excited, or maybe, you know, curbing a little of that enthusiasm. But yeah, always love having you on the pod, my friend.
Oh yeah, it's always good to come on, man. I appreciate you having me back.
All righty, I will talk to you soon, and let's hope that Daryl can land this plane, because like that would be amazing. That would be so amazing.
Yeah, it's gonna be a fun off season. We'll see what happens.
All right, Tom, I'll talk to you soon, buddy.
Yeah, speak soon. Bye.
All right.